Well, tonight, brothers and sisters, we have the company and fellowship of Brother Stephen Edwin with us. And he's to give us an address, "The Kingdom of God is Within You." And in connection with Brother Stephen's address, it's asked that we take a reading from the Gospel of Luke and chapter 17. A reading together from the Word of Life, Gospel of Luke and chapter 17. "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offences will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant, ploughing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he is come from the field, Go and sit down to meat. And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall I say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or See there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. With that introduction, brethren and sisters, I'll ask Brother Stephen to come forward and give us that talk, The Kingdom of God is Within You.
Thank you, David. That was a very good introduction, including the prayer, actually. Almost perfect. Probably don't have to speak after the prayer. I was asked on Sunday, when I thought I'd try it, asking two learned brethren what they thought about this subject. They thought it was particularly difficult, and they'd never heard it expounded before. So I said I was brave to have a go. But it's actually considered to be one of the most difficult things that Jesus said to understand. Interesting. So Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. And he's talking to Pharisees. The kingdom of God is within them. Christendom generally accepts this statement of Jesus, meaning that Jesus therefore is reigning in your hearts. And this is a proof. But is that what's being said here? One way of understanding it is to say that within can also be rendered in the midst, which is the way I've always accepted the explanation for it, and I thought it was going to be an easy one, really. But it's a lot more complicated. But the one way of understanding it is in the midst. So the kingdom, or the kingdom's king, was in the midst of the people then, the Pharisees. And they don't and won't recognize him. And their observations are actually hostile to the idea of the kingdom being represented by the king and his values. So observation here apparently has a hostile value to it. They were demanding of Jesus, you tell us now. Not asking, or being polite. Tell us now. It's the only time, apparently, this hostile verb, the hostile word is used, but it's as a verb, it's always described as an evil, in an evil sense of hostility in the Bible. But it's the only time it's used, this hostile way of speaking to Jesus. So, is that the meaning then, that the Pharisees who demanded to know when the kingdom would appear? They hadn't got the right attitude to be part of it when it comes. The kingdom of God is within you. We will eventually, as we've just read, be translated to the kingdom at the last trump. So there's two people working together or whatever in the field, one's taken in a flash, faster than the blink of an eye, when Jesus returns, and so will we ever be with him. So in this sense, we should be, as Brother David says, living as people of the kingdom now. In Luke 17, Jesus goes on to mirror Luke 21. about the last days prior to his return. But it's bookended. And we have this discourse with his disciples, and it's all about faith. The interruptions that we get from the Pharisees are actually part of the lessons that have been delivered by Jesus and in context. And the Pharisees, as we know, always finding fault, deriding from their lofty positions of religious authority. So in Luke 15, as all the publicans and sinners came to Jesus, they mock and say, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And in Luke 16, the Pharisees deride Jesus again. Verse 14, it says, "The Pharisees were covetous, heard all these things, they derided him and said, 'You are they which justify yourself before men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God.'" And they boasted. They boasted for keeping Moses' law. And Jesus said, "Moses spoke of me." And so, Luke 16 and verse 31, he says, "If you hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." That probably implying Jesus himself, but obviously Lazarus as well. However, some of the Jews obviously went over when they saw Lazarus raised. So they display faithlessness in the face of overwhelming evidence to the contrary. So when we come to Luke 17, Jesus continues to talk about the values needed for a citizen of the kingdom. And so it's that verse 5 that then the apostles, it says, ask, "Lord, increase our faith." It's a bit like, "I believe, but help thou my unbelief." Increase our faith. By the time we come to chapter 18 and verse 8, it's all about faith bookended. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth?" What faith is Jesus talking about then? There. Well, that parable in Luke 18 was given to illustrate that men ought always to pray to God and not to faint or lose heart. It's not saying that Jesus won't find faith on the earth, because the parable is talking about always praying to God when he returns. It's likening those that wait on God in prayer, though poor in this world, they shall be justified. So faith is the key. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 tells us, by faith, we see the sort of people we should be. By faith, we know that God is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But why did Jesus say, as a retort to the Pharisees, "The kingdom of God is within you"? What did they understand by this mysterious saying? Were they responsible for suppressing the kingdom? As religious rulers of Israel, and rather than demanding, they should have been pleading from their hearts, from within, that God would bring about the kingdom. If we just jump to Isaiah 62, because here it says, and they would be very used to their scriptures, obviously, they would know. It says here to give God no rest, Isaiah 62, but to pray continually for the very thing that the Pharisees are demanding. And in fact, the Jews say next year, Jerusalem. So 62 and verse 7, it says, "Give God no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth." That's the kingdom. Verse 1, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. There shall be no more termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. So all our thoughts should be along the same line. The kingdom in prayer to God to come. When I was working at Stafford Meeting, I was working with Brother Jeff Poppett, and he's really special. And he said to me, just as David said actually in his prayer, you're in the kingdom now, and you're serving the king now. So when Jesus comes, it won't be a shock to think, how did I get here? If you're being moulded now to make you fit people for the kingdom, because it'll be too late then. So when we jump back to Luke, we find in Luke 18, even a blind beggar, verse 35, had faith in Jesus to believe. And Jesus says to him, thy faith has saved you. These are the examples that Jesus has given to his disciples about faith. And yet the religious leaders of Israel were blind to their Messiah. In chapter 19, even a hated tax collector welcomes Jesus within, with Jesus saying, today salvation is come into this house. Matthew 8, after the healing of the centurion's servant, with a word alone, Jesus exclaims, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. Children of the kingdom cast out. How can that be? They're children of the kingdom, surely. They'll only be cast out through lack of faith, lack of belief in the only name under heaven whereby we might be saved. But faith is the key. Are we children of the kingdom then? Has our faith made enough difference for someone to notice? When Moses went up to Mount Sinai, he came down with the Ten Commandments in his arms. This was in effect a written contract between God and man, Israel, something they agreed to honour and keep. It was a contractual arrangement between them and God that they would be a peculiar and special people, priests. When Jesus, seeing the multitude, it says he also went up to a mountain. Matthew 5, he taught the people what they should be, to be considered citizens of God's kingdom. It's like the contract again that we agree to. We agree to be poor in spirit, meek, hungry for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, people standing up for God's way when even opposed with hostility. It was what our King expects from us, so that we can have the right mind for relationship with God, prepared for the kingdom by manifesting God-like qualities, its divine love. So when the Pharisees are told the kingdom doesn't come with observation, we'd think, well, it does really, because you've got all these prophecies that tell you approximately what you should be looking for. But Jesus says it doesn't come with observation to the Pharisees. Why does he say that? They were so particular with their almsgiving and tithes and laws and ritual washings, all the additional trivia. The kingdom coming wasn't something they would predict by observing prophecies, like ticking them off on a countdown till the kingdom comes, is what Jesus is saying. Neither shall they deceive others by saying, lo here or lo there. If they say, here or see there, go not after them, Jesus says, because when the Son of Man comes, there'll be no doubt. So Luke 21 says, tells us not to be deceived. Verse 8, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Now, in Exodus 19 and verse 5, it says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which I shall speak unto the children of Israel. Taking that, it states that those in fellowship with God keep his covenant. They're special and peculiar above all the people of the earth as priests. They're called priests in God's kingdom. And this was Israel's role under the Old Testament. But taking it forward to the New Testament, does this then apply to the disciples of Jesus? Well, I think so. In their role of priests, in effect, because of their devotion to God and Jesus. If this is what Jesus is implying, they were indeed in the midst of the nation, the disciples of Jesus, as priests, recognized by God. And the Pharisees, though, didn't accept or recognize them. All their observations couldn't decide that in their very presence, in their midst, the kingdom's representatives were plain to see, but they were blind to it. The kingdom ideals were not within them. And no amount of hostile demanding was going to change that. But those ideals are what have to be within us to be acceptable. So when we look at 1 Corinthians 13, we have an incredible contrast by Paul, because he says, though I speak with the tongues of men, of angels, and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And here it is, even if I have the gift of prophecy, never mind reading prophecies, if I have gift of prophecy, it makes no difference. Even if I understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I can remove mountains, but if I haven't got love, it's not mixed with love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I'm not love, it profited me nothing. And verse 13, he tells us that these abide, faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest is love. And when we preach, if we can't love the people that stand before us, then we'll never convince them. And so Jesus says, with all these values to heart, and mixing our faith with love and the hope that we have, in Luke 12 and verse 31, it says, seek ye the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.